My name is Richard Grayson. The other kids call me Dick.
Well, children can be cruel.
Hello and welcome to ReggieTake.com, podcast number 31. Will Arnett dons the cape and cowl, as it were, in the newest Batman movie as Warner Brothers has built a fun movie for the family brick by brick. We'll give you our impressions of the movie. Ben Affleck is out as the director of the solo Batman movie for Warner Brothers DCEU, and now he may want out of the cape and cowl altogether. Warner Brothers is actively searching for a new director for Suicide Squad 2, and the man they have on their list could be an interesting choice. And Fox Studios weren't sold on the idea about one of their upcoming movies. Which one was it? Join my co-host James and myself as we talk about this and much, much, much more, I'm sure. James, welcome.
Hi. Well, first off, I just want to say, I'm reading over this introduction that you wrote, and when you wrote, Warner Brothers has built a fun movie for the entire family, brick by brick, I just got to say, that is very creative, very clever, very witty. You could be a news writer.
No. No.
That's all it takes. That's all it takes.
No. I do this and those little write-ups because I want to, because it's fun. I'm not getting
paid.
You got
it. You got the talent. You got that spark in you, Reggie. I can see it in your eyes.
I don't know. How you been?
Pretty good. How have you been?
All right. The Lego Batman movie. I've seen it. You've seen it, I assume.
I saw it, yep.
Your initial thoughts. What do you think of it?
I will say for about the first half of the movie, the first hour or so, I thought it was really good. I really liked it. I thought it was really funny. You know, I mean, yeah, it's a kids movie, but there were a lot of jokes that adults and Batman fans, anybody who knows Batman, would really find funny. There were a lot of really funny jokes. And for the first hour, I thought, man, this is probably one of the best Batman movies I've ever seen. It was funny. It was,
they didn't take themselves too seriously.
Right. Well, they didn't take themselves seriously at all. I mean, it was basically Batman SpongeBob. But then I think the latter half, while still good, it kind of lost what made the first half so good. Mm-hmm. Like the latter half was more like just kind of action, but it was like goofy cartoon action, and they could have toned that down a little. I also thought it was kind of odd that with the latter half, when they start introducing like Voldemort and the Wicked Witch of the West and, you know, Moldor and King Kong and the Kraken and all these other characters, it was kind of funny at first, but when they became big, I kind of realized, oh, that's right, this isn't a Batman movie, it's a Lego movie. And also, it's not a Lego movie, it's a Lego commercial. I know, like, every animated movie since Snow White, probably, but, like, let's be a little bit more fair, every animated movie since probably The Little Mermaid has been, let me dial that back, every kids' movie since Star Wars has been a commercial for toys.
Oh, yeah.
I think the latter half of this movie was just a little bit cynical. It's like, all right, if I had kids, he'll buy the rest of these, you know. But I still thought it was really good. I would have rather having the other characters from other movies. It was kind of funny. Conan O'Brien play the Riddler, and we had freaking Billy Dee Williams play Two-Face. I would have rather seen more of them, honestly, and the other Catwoman, Penguin, the other characters, than Voldemort and Moldor and Mordor and, not Mordor, Sauron and all these other characters. I would have rather seen more of the Batman characters, you know, whatever.
I thoroughly enjoyed the movie.
Mm-hmm. It was a good movie. Don't get me wrong. It's going to get a good score.
And the way it started out.
Oh, the first half of the movie was genuinely like one of the funniest things I've seen in a year or two at the theaters, honestly.
Did you catch the password for the Batcave?
Yes. Iron Man sucks, which is so funny. First off, Will Arnett as Batman is freaking hilarious. I love, and by the way, if you're an Arrested Development fan, Michael Cera plays Robin. And, you know, on the show, Michael Cera was his nephew, but he was, in certain episodes, he almost acted like his sidekick. So here it works out so funny. But Will Arnett, his version of Batman is so petty and just so, petty is the perfect word for it, but he's so petty and he's so just
stuck on himself,
self-absorbed, and it really is, because that's really what Batman would be like, this little whiny douchebag that, yeah, he is good at stuff, I really enjoyed that whole scene where he's just like playing guitar by himself and eating dinner by himself and watching movies by himself. Like, I thought that stuff was really funny.
Yeah, and then have that Jerry Maguire. Was it Jerry Maguire?
You know, it was a Tom Cruise movie, and I don't...
Maybe it was Jerry Maguire.
I think it was Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, I had you at hello, but they never, they always cut off right before. Yeah.
So stupid.
You know, the way the movie started out, that's what does, you know.
Oh, wait, that's the best... That's actually the very beginning is the best part, where he's just like, where you see the movie and he's just talking. It's like during the opening credits and he's just like talking about stuff where he's like, yeah, that's the logo for Warner Bros. And then like whatever their studio was called, he's like, I don't know what they do, but they got a cool logo. And
yeah,
it was all really funny. It was an hour 40, which isn't very long for a movie, but it is kind of long for a kid's movie. Maybe they just went a little longer than they should have. I don't know. I just would have rather have seen the other Rogues villains a little more. Oh, Zach Galifianakis as Joker was hilarious. Because he was just like this like whiny little...
Needy.
Yeah, very needy.
Needing the attention of Batman. Yeah. Almost needing his approval to be a villain.
I really liked Rosario Dawson as Batgirl. I thought it was weird that they made her a mature adult age. I'm overanalyzing the Lego movie, but it seemed like she probably, to be commissioner, she would have had to have been, what, at least in her 30s.
You would think, yeah.
But I liked her as Batgirl. I always liked Rosario Dawson. She's great. The whole cast was really good. Conan O'Brien and Billy Dee Williams.
They had a great voice
I would have, yeah, they did. I would have liked to see more of the Rogues characters.
Yeah, and in that opening sequence with that plane that was being hijacked, it was called MacGuffin Airlines. Which is a reference to the famous film term referencing a plot device that only serves to further the story, but it means nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really funny.
Yeah, that movie was just a fun ride, I thought. Alfred, when he's asking Bruce Wayne if he's looking at the family photos, and no, I wasn't. And Alfred just goes, sir, I've seen you go through similar phases like in 2016, and 2012, and 2008, and 2005, and 1997, and 1995, and 1992, and 1989, and that weird one in 1966.
In the 60s, yeah. It shows Adam West dancing.
Yes. They actually kind of make an appearance of that Adam West suit when Alfred, you know, pulls off his uniform towards the end there when they let Batman and Robin out of jail.
Yeah, there were a lot of jokes towards a lot of Batman media, and not just those movies, but then they showed him again, but then also like...
The DC Universe in general.
Well, and then the 90s cartoon, which is a big... The 90s animated show was a big deal. Oh, and then they showed the old serials from the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't show them, but they showed a parody of them. They had a lot of really good stuff on there.
All the different, if you could catch all the names of all those different bat suits he had.
Yeah.
Electric Bat, White Bat, Bat by Glass Light, Scuba Bat, St. Patrick's.
Okay, I got a question, though. What was the deal with all the Michael Jackson jokes?
I don't know. Because
there's a lot. And they played a lot of his songs, but they were, like, redone. The quote was Man in the Mirror, which was actually really funny, where they write it at the beginning. In a lot of movies, they'll have a quote, you know, to show how serious it is. They did throw a Prince joke in there, where he asked if he was going to win, like the time he played all the Prince music and shot poison gas through the city. And that made sense.
Yeah.
By the way, Prince's albums became available on streaming. Not all of them, but most, the ones that everybody likes. The ones from the 80s. I had Musicology when I was in college, and that one's not available yet. But 1999 is available. Purple Rain is available. The self-titled is available. But just got a little off topic there. But, you know, when they were making the movie, you know, he was so tight on his copyright. They probably couldn't play any Prince stuff on this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I still won't get the Michael Jackson stuff. Not that I didn't think it was funny. I'm just, one joke would have been funny, but...
Three jokes.
Three or four. And it was like a motif that I just didn't get, I guess. But
I'm sure someone's got some reasoning for it all. This is the type of movie you almost have to watch twice.
Yeah, I probably will watch it again.
Just to pick up all the little nuances and references and inside jokes. And
by the way, Condiment King is real. All those characters.
The villains they had in this movie.
Well, Condiment King, or is it Condiment Man? I don't remember. I remember him from the cartoon, but he didn't have a full episode to himself. He got beat up immediately. I think that character was always just a parody of how ridiculous Batman villains were. Like, that was always his point. But wow. Killer Moth was there. Killer Moth is pretty bad. Quilt the, King.
Yeah, they had
Clock King.
Calendar Man.
Calendar Man.
Catman, Clayface, Clock King, as you said.
Clayface is a good villain.
Condiment King, Crazy Quilt, Egghead, The Eraser, Gentleman Ghost, Killer Moth, as you said, Kite Man.
Kite Man, yeah. The Human Kite.
Magpie, Man Bat, The Mime, The Mutant Leader, Polka Dot Man, Red Hood, Dr.
Phosphorus.
Yeah, Dr. Phosphorus. God, what the hell am I thinking?
Check
my writing.
Check your
Professor Hugo
periodic
Strange,
table.
Tarantula, Zebra Man, Zodiac Master. Oh, my God.
Had King Tut. I noticed King Tut and Egghead, neither of them were in the comics that I know of. I think they were both from the show
yeah.
originally, anyway.
But then again, nothing of anything that had been done with Batman was off the table. They like to make fun with Superman.
Yeah, that's another thing. I wish they would have gone back to, like, the movie kind of forgets about it, Superman, remember?
Yeah, because they go to his Fortress of Solitude, and then after he leaves there...
You know, one of the big problems I had is, like, they focus so much on the other characters from other movies... But then when they bring the villains, it's like, okay, that sort of redeems it. But I was expecting
Superman.
Not only the villains, but also Superman. But he never came back. And I thought that was kind of odd that the movie just totally forgets about him.
Especially when you're dealing with Phantom Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And all the villains coming out.
I don't want to rag on this movie. I thought it was a really good movie, but I do think it could have been better. I think they could have done some things to make it the perfect movie.
And when Batman rings the doorbell at the Fortress of Solitude, it plays John Williams'
yes,
Superman theme.
That was so cool.
When Batman activates the...
Of course, I think those other movies that they had on here, they were all Warner Brothers movies.
Yeah.
I know Harry Potter is.
Yeah, every one of their reference other than...
No, that's not true. Jurassic Park was... Universal.
True.
And there was Jurassic Park on there. And what was Lord of the Rings? That wasn't Warner Brothers, was it?
I believe Lord of the Rings is under the umbrella of Warner Brothers.
Okay.
They also referenced Jor-El, the Marlon Brando version.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, actually. That was actually him from that movie, wasn't it? A recording of him.
Yeah, they played his... They took his voice.
Marlon Brando's dead.
Really?
Yeah.
He's I never dead. Got the message.
He's dead.
Commissioner Gordon's partner in the movie, named O'Hara.
Yeah, that was funny.
Which is a nod to the 60 Batman series character, Chief O'Hara.
Yeah.
Killer Croc says, "I did something," basically referring to Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I figured that's what that was.
The guy who did the voice of Bane took his inspiration from The Dark Knight Rises. Not surprising in that way. Joker's line of "Wanna get nuts." As a reference to the Michael Keaton movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was actually Batman's line, not Joker's.
True.
A lot of people, I'm just saying a lot of people get that wrong.
That and also the banner when Batman shows up and they're having that, quote, Justice League party. The 57th annual Justice League anniversary banner is actually referring to the Justice League's first appearance in The Brave and the Bold, number 28 from 1960. So, you know, there was a logic to that.
Oh, yeah.
The Robin getup resembled Carrie Kelly. The future Robin from Frank Miller's Dark Knight.
Yeah. What's funny is in the commercials, I thought that's what it was supposed to be, was the girl Robin.
Right. Of course, initially it says reggae man outfit.
Yeah.
Oh, this is too tight. Here, rip. I'll like this way. Of course, it also had the Gotham Gazette building, Vicki Vale's place of employment. Just a lot of reference.
Mm-hmm.
A whole lot of reference. Sauron is from the Lord of the Rings and Voldemort from the Harry Potter series. I enjoyed the movie. The jokes, for what it is.
It was a kid's movie.
It's a kid's movie. Yeah. You know, a lot of these kid movies nowadays, because it's the adults that have to take the kids to go see the movies, they make these movies to where the adults can enjoy them and get something out of them too, so you're not just sitting there bored to death. Now, I don't have no kids, so, you know, my wife and I went and saw the movie, and I had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to pick out all the little references. Did you notice when Alfred says all those quirky times about...
I don't mean this! Sorry, I just love Conan, but go on.
Oh, no, you're fine. When he's referring back to all those instances from, you know, 2005, 97, they actually recreated little Lego images of those scenes from the movies.
From which? Oh, yeah.
With the Dark Knight.
Yeah, that was good.
And the only one they showed of live action was...
Was the 60s series. Yeah. It was Adam West dancing.
Which I believe that episode I saw recently here in the last month or so on MeTV. I'm pretty sure I did. I kind of thought that was even funnier when I saw that part. I'll give it an A-.
Oh, Doug Benson played Bane. He was on Trailer Park Boys. That's where I know him from. I'm going through it. Zoe Kravitz, Lenny Kravitz's daughter, played Catwoman.
And, of course, the gremlins on the Batplane is a reference to the Twilight Zone episode Nightmare at 20,000 Feet, where William Shatner thinks he's convinced that gremlins are trying to take down the plane.
I mean, that might be a reference to that. Actually, I think, goes back even further. The idea of gremlins taking down planes goes back to World War II. That's where that Twilight Zone comes from. During World War II, that was a joke with fighter pilots when their wings were messed up due to whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
That was always the joke, was, oh, some gremlin was taking them apart. So that actually goes back further than Twilight Zone. But yeah, I think the reference is actually to Twilight Zone, though.
I love the size of his Batcave.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing was high-tech, and if you really paid attention to the size with all the different vehicles, you got references mm-hmm. to all the different incarnations of the Batmobile, Batplane, Batboat, whatever vehicle you've seen in movies or cartoons or TV series was basically there for you to quickly... But you had to look quick. There was a lot of references in there with that. I actually kind of thought his Batcave looked kind of actually cool, the way the sidewalks kept kind of moving in front.
Yeah, as that he was
walked,
cool.
As he walked
that
in
was
front.
Cool, actually.
And then them all trying to squeeze into the elevator at the end to go up the little... It seems like that thing moved was the slowest moving of his Batcave, because everything else seemed to always move really quick, but yet the elevator was slower than hell. And, of course, that line we did at the opening of the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that was a funny line.
That's great.
Will Arnett is really funny. I think he was, like, honestly, he could probably do a serious voice of Batman, too, in a serious cartoon. And, you know, that's the thing. Like, I mean, they've gotten so, like, even the cartoons have gotten so serious. And just, I love the Nolan movies. You know, Batman can be fun, too.
I think that's where the appeal of this movie and even the...
Because, I mean, his villains are so outlandish. Like, let's have some fun with this, you know?
Because I think that's where this movie and the movie we reviewed, The Return of the Caped Crusaders, in my last podcast, that's where these movies now come into play as give you that little levity that you kind of almost need with Batman nowadays. Because they have taken him so serious and taken him to that point of, well, this is where people wanted to be, which I don't have a problem with him being, you know, a serious character to a certain extent with the movies
to an extent,
but at the same time he is a comic book character.
Because I mean, most of these straight to DVD animated movies that people love so much, I think, are a bit much, honestly. Like, have you seen Red Hood yet?
No.
It's okay.
I might have, but I'm not sure.
It's okay, but it's like the same thing as every... That movie's kind of old now. I think that was like 2011 when that came out, but it's good, but it's like the same thing as everything else. It's like, I get it. Batman's serious and badass. Like, you know, I mean, you kind of get tired of it after a while. It gets overly dark. And I will say, I've seen now three animated Batman movies this year, and
what was your third one?
Well, Killing Joke.
Oh, and, yes, that's right.
And I don't know which one I was about. I don't know which one I like better out of the two, this one or the Caped Crusader, the one with Adam West. But these two were both pretty good. The Killing Joke was good too. It had some, I don't know. The new stuff had its issues, and the old stuff, I've always said, had its issues, too. So it's just like, it's interesting. I don't know if it's good, but it's interesting, you know?
What medium would Batman works best in? Comics?
Well, that's where he came from. But.
Right, but I mean, with nowadays, though, with the live-action movies, the animated movies, and you still have the comics, I mean, does he still work the best in the comics?
It's hard to say. I mean, I'd like for them to try to do another actual cartoon like the 90s one. It doesn't have to be just like it. You know, animation, it looks a lot better these days, and it's a lot easier to produce these days because
technology.
We got to fire all those Koreans, so it's not being racist. Well, get over yourself. It's just about, you know, like all those cartoons back in the days were either Japanese or Korean, and you know, like that was, you know, they had a bunch of people in almost a factory setting where that's what they did, was just they'd each draw a frame. And that's kind of going away now. I don't think it's going away with Asian cartoons, though. I think
the Japanese
cartoons, they still use, actual hand-drawn stuff, right?
I believe so.
I think that's still pretty big over there. And some of those cartoons look really good these days. Like, they're, you know, I don't know if they have a bigger budget or if they've just figured out a better way to streamline it. But it just, I mean, some of the Japanese animation is really good these days.
I'd really like to see a live action version of Batman. And I'm not talking Gotham, where you're getting a Batman show that doesn't even have a Batman.
I don't like Gotham.
But I'd like to see a Batman show, something like they've done with Daredevil or any of the Marvel series on Netflix, and have it on something like a Netflix or some sort of streaming channel, to where you don't have the restrictions of a network. You don't necessarily have to go completely R-rated on the damn thing, but a nice, good, gritty show that would be serious, but it also have its little bit lighter moments within the show, so you're not just getting all dark all the time. But I'd love to see something of Batman in that realm for a TV show, and just see where they would go with it. I think that would be really fun to watch, because I think there's certain comics,
as long as they don't do what Daredevil season 2 did and just beat you over the head with, oh, he can't kill anyone, he's a hero. Like, can we stop that? Can we please stop that? We get it, okay? Jeez, just God. That like killed it. I always thought
because he wouldn't kill.
I don't need every sentence in the show, in the script, to be telling the audience, he doesn't kill, he's not that kind of vigilante. I don't kill, I can't take a life, I'm doing this to help people. Just like beat some people up, give me what I want, okay? Daredevil season 2 was so goddamn annoying with that. It's like, we get it. Why does this have to be a thing where you have to keep telling me this? This is not interesting. It's not. Like, you already had your little struggle in the first season. Let's actually, like, do something cool.
It's the same way with him and Foggy constantly arguing with each other.
Oh, my God. Just get rid of that character, please. And honestly, I don't think that guy's a good actor. You know who played Foggy in the Daredevil movie, don't you?
No.
It was Jon Favreau.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh, I did not know that.
Yep, it was Jon Favreau. But, this guy just, I don't know. This guy was kind of annoying already in season 1.
Well, you're going to see him, that same actor playing Foggy in the Defender series.
Yeah. Luke Cage, for the first half of that show, I was like, this is the best one yet. And then the last half, this kind of sucks. Did you watch Luke Cage?
I haven't gotten through all of Luke Cage yet.
Did you get to the part where, and you'll know, I'm not going to give you a spoiler, but you'll know what I'm talking about when I say it. Did you get to the part where all of a sudden the show takes a weird left turn?
No.
Okay. So you didn't get to the part where a certain character, not going to say anything. Wow. You would know if you got that far. Okay. Something happens to a certain character, and then the season 2 just goes in a weird direction. Becomes like a different show almost. It's really odd. The first half, I honestly thought the first half was like, man, this is better than Daredevil. This is like really, really good. And then the last half, I was just like, God, I just don't even care anymore, because it doesn't even make sense, and everything that was cool about the first half is gone now. And
I've seen the trailers for Iron Fist.
Oh yeah,
and the trailers—they make the show look pretty good.
Yeah,
and
these shows have been good. It's just
Jessica Jones was probably the most screwed up psychologically.
Yeah, but even Jessica Jones, like, that's another one where it took me till like episode 5 to get into it. And I know, like, some shows,
it was a
very
slow moving show.
I wouldn't even call that slow going. It was like the first 2 episodes were so stupid that I get it. You can cuss and you can almost show boobs, but not quite. I get it. But once that show got going, it got really good. All these are really good. I'm just complaining because that's what I do.
You're fine. This is what just we do this for.
I'm just a really sad man.
We're going to move on to a couple of stories here about your favorite movie universe here, the DCEU.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh. Ben Affleck, you may or may not be aware that he's no longer going to be directing the solo Batman movie. Well, now there's a potential rumor that is going around. Could not be true. Don't know yet. No one knows for sure, because neither Affleck or Warner Brothers is speaking at this point. But that Affleck wants out of playing Batman.
Whoa.
Period.
Wow.
Okay. He wants to stop. If Warner Brothers lets him out of this contract, obviously that means they have to recast basically immediately. If Warner Brothers won't let him out of his contract, then his final movie as Batman would be the eventual solo Batman movie. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if that includes Justice League 2. I assume it would. I'm not necessarily want to talk about whether or not he's for sure in or for sure out as far as the rumor part. What I wanted to ask you was 2 different questions.
Okay.
Okay. the first question I'll give you here is, I want your best reasoning as to why Affleck should stay in the DCU as Batman and why it would be important for the DCEU. I know we both had our talks about this. We both have our issues with the DCEU universe and Warner Brothers, but I want an honest why Affleck should stay as Batman.
Okay.
And then the second question, you might be able to figure out the other, but I'll just give you this one question first.
Okay. He shouldn't. If he wants out, he should get out. This series is a freaking train wreck. Like, the only reason to stay is for the money at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They're not good movies. And Ben Affleck is A fan of Batman, and B, capable of making really good movies. He's actually a good actor director. And that brings me to C, I guess. Like, he already went through his Geely phase, mm-hmm. where everything he made, Geely and Daredevil phase, where everything he made sucked for a couple years. Why the hell would he want to go back through that? Now it's like, oh, I'm going to be the butt of the joke again for another 5 years because I'm Batman, who's even crappier than Daredevil was. And no, he shouldn't do it. If he wants out, he needs to get out. And that's no hard feelings at all, because these movies suck. And the idea that people were thinking that Ben Affleck can turn this around, I don't think he can. I don't think anyone can turn this around. This was a mess to begin with. It's scary to think that, you know, now that he wants out so bad, that Wonder Woman might wind up as crappy, because that looked like the one good movie that they'd have. You know, and we can go over this over and over again, where they went wrong. You know, they went wrong by ripping off Marvel's business plan and then pretending like they weren't. Either don't follow them. Let me do that old Marine bullshit. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. Either don't follow them. I don't want to offend any Marines, because they might kick my ass. That old Marine mantra that they used to say, at least, you know, a couple of years ago, was lead, follow, or get out of the way. In this case, it's like, yeah, like, go for it. It's DC. They're not leading, because Marvel's already led. So they're not coming up with anything new. But at the same time, if you're not going to come up with anything new, then just rip off Marvel. Who cares? Just rip them off. Don't make this universe with Darkseid as your main villain eventually. Like, we haven't even gotten a Thanos in the Marvel movies. So don't, like, set everything up, but then be like, no, we did it differently. You see, with them, they started with the character solo movies, and here, the second movie is just a big Justice League blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, you can't have both ways, guys. Like, you just can't.
Would the DCEU be better without Batfleck in there?
I don't think it'll be anything. Do I think it would be better without Batman or Ben Affleck?
Without Affleck. Because obviously, if they continue on, they're going to obviously have to recast for Batman.
I don't see why it would be better. Ben Affleck was actually pretty good as Batman.
Probably the most likable thing out of the Batman versus Superman movie.
I mean, this series just seems to be overrun with problems. And the fact that they decided to go head first as a universe series, like Marvel did, just shows that they can't back out. Technically, though, they didn't go head first because, see, they made Green Lantern, and that was supposed to be part of the... I swear that was supposed to be part of the kickoff. That movie sucked, so they pretended like it wasn't part of it. And you know what? If they would have just kept that going, all right, just pretend, oh, this movie sucks, just pretend like it's not in there. But there's so much pressure now. As bad as Batman versus Superman is, for me, the nail in the coffin was Suicide Squad. I thought that movie was absolute garbage. I think that is one of the worst movies I've seen in theaters ever. Granted, less than a year before was Fantastic Four, which was worse. But at the same time, Fantastic Four was harmless. Oh, that movie sucked. Well, we'll just reboot Fantastic Four again and it'll suck again. Who cares? So it was a harmless movie. But I mean, this movie isn't harmless. This was like kind of their third strike. And I didn't totally hate Man of Steel. I didn't like it the first time I saw it. Like, when I saw it in theaters, I was pretty mad. But as time went on, I kind of gave it another chance, and I started to like it a little bit. And I thought, once I figure out what's wrong with this movie, with the sequels, they'll be okay. And it's like, no, they just won't. There you go.
It looks like they will get another director for the Batman movie. The guy who's done Cloverfield and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and upcoming War for the Planet of the Apes, Matt Reeves.
Oh, yeah.
Looks to be the guy who they're going to task to take over for Affleck in the director's chair. You mentioned Suicide Squad. This is really going to floor you a little bit. Warner Brothers is now actively looking for a director for Suicide Squad sequel.
David Ayers is out.
Well, that's because he's going to be busy trying to write and direct their Gotham City Sirens.
Is that a movie or show?
Yes, movie.
What is it?
It's called Gotham City Sirens, and it's going to have Harley Quinn and Catwoman and some of the female villains.
So it's like Birds of Prey.
Though, yeah, right? I guess. It'll have Margot Robbie as the lead. They're actively looking for a director, and one of the names on that list, they're reportedly looking at Mel Gibson to direct Suicide Squad. And Warner Brothers is courting Gibson for the directorial gig and is in early talks with the actor/director, and Gibson is currently familiarizing himself with the material.
So he might direct Suicide Squad.
He might. You know, Gibson is a choice you wouldn't think about directing.
He's a good director.
One of these movies, and considering how he's talked about superhero movies in the past,
yeah.
Of course, that's been more Marvel movies rather than DC, but he is a good director. You know, he does Passion of Christ.
He's also crazy.
He's getting some more roles here now, mainstream roles, and sure. His Hacksaw Ridge.
He's good at what he does.
You know, and his Hacksaw Ridge is up for 6 Academy Award nominations, including Best Director.
Yeah.
You know, as strange as it may sound to hear Mel Gibson as a director of a superhero movie, it doesn't really bother me.
That doesn't sound strange. That's where the market is now. That's where all the money is. The whole thing has gone to superhero movies. Eventually, this bubble's going to burst. But for right now, this is like how in the 60s and 70s, in the 60s, everything was Westerns.
Oh, 50s, 60s, and 50s. Early 70s.
Yeah, you know, for a very long time, it was all Westerns. Late 70s, early 80s, it was all Star Wars ripoffs. For about 10 years there.
Sci-fi kind of made a small comeback. Yeah. And sci-fi, to a certain extent, has never really gone away. It's never has been as prominent. Although lately, sci-fi and comic book movies seem to be the main thing right now, just because of popularities of the Marvel and Star Trek, Star Wars, and even with like movies like Guardians of the Galaxy that kind of are in that bubble of kind of in between of both, really, if you really want to look at it. The other thing we have here is also the final movie for Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, Logan.
There's a new poster out for it that's just fantastic.
Oh, yes, their IMAX poster. I saw that. That's
good looking.
It looks kind of like a retro look.
Yeah.
And that looks really good. Yes, it does. I guess because it was going to be the last time Hugh Jackman and the director, James Mangold, they wanted to do something different for this for Jackman's final outing. The Fox executives weren't completely sold on their idea for this movie because it was such a, quote, as they said, drastic departure from anything they had done previously with the X-Men universe. In an interview, Fox film chairman Stacy Snyder, she had a quote in an interview talking about their conversations, you know, behind the scenes. Inside, there was a real concentration about the intensity of the tone of the film. It's more an elegy about life and death. The paradigm for it was a Western, and my colleagues were up in arms. It's not a wisecracking, cigar-chomping, mutton-sporting Wolverine. The debate internally became, isn't that freaking boring? Isn't it exciting to imagine Wolverine as a real guy, and he's world-weary, and he doesn't want to fight until a little girl needs him?
Okay. I mean, yeah, this...
I can see where the studios were used to a certain amount of what do you expect from a Wolverine movie.
There has been a level of sameness in these... I know sameness isn't a word, but there has been a level of sameness in like all these superhero movies for a long time. And, you know, they'll get out of it. And there's certain ones that don't follow that. Like Guardians of the Galaxy didn't. That's a great movie. You know, The Dark Knight kind of did its own thing. There are certain ones that really bend out of that. All the Marvel ones weave in and out of it to a certain extent, but they still stay within that realm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, like Doctor Strange and Captain America and all these movies are different from each other, but they're still within the same realm. They still follow at least most of the tropes set before them by movies like the original Superman. Really want to see Wolverine as more of an, or excuse me, Logan as more of an introspective movie, kind of an old Western maybe.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what they're going for. Kind of
seems to be.
You know, it's more self-contemplating. He's wondering about what he's done in the past and what's going on now and why is he still here. And
well, you know, I watched Days of Future point? Past the other day, and that movie really should have been the last X-Men movie. That was basically the finale, and then they're like, well, let's make Apocalypse, and that movie kind of sucked. You know, with Apocalypse, it's like, it's the same crap, only slightly different. It's still like mutants who are kind of mopey. I mean, it had a really good cast, but it's still like mutants who don't fit in and blah blah blah, and it's like, oh my god, we're going through this crap all over again. I know they're going to keep making X-Men movies. It's hard to say how long, but they may not do it much longer. I know there's at least one more. Logan, this will be a good finale, at least for Wolverine and Hugh Jackman and all those guys. Like, they need to just end it somewhere and just reboot the damn series. Do a real reboot. I know we all kind of thought with Days of Future Past, it's like, oh, you could do a soft reboot. They did it with Star Trek, and it's like, no, you can't. Just reboot the whole damn thing. End it and start it over again. Make a whole new story. Just going back in time and like doing things the exact same way, but having a villain we never got to before is not very interesting.
Right. So. I mean, you can get away with what Star Trek did because Star Trek's such a unique universe where in their soft reboot, they completely wiped the slate clean.
Yeah, and also those movies or those shows have been going on since the 60s.
Right.
Whereas with X-Men... Yeah, the comics have been around forever, but these movies haven't been around. They've been around a long time, but only since 2000.
So you weren't necessarily soft rebooting a lot. Yeah. I mean, it's not like you were wiping out, you know.
And it's really hard to say if the soft reboot even worked for Star Trek.
I think that depends on who you talk to with the movie franchise.
Because I know the second one, they did the same thing that X-Men Apocalypse does, where let's just remake Star Trek 2. And well, why are you doing that?
Yeah, well, I don't see it as a complete remake of Star Trek 2.
Of course not, but I mean, come on.
I mean, yeah, they use the same character, which I said they should have stayed away from in the first place. It was too easy. And they did take some things from Wrath of Khan. And I get where people's perception could say, oh, well, you just ripped off Wrath of Khan. Well, okay, yeah, they ripped off some things from Wrath of Khan, but they didn't necessarily rip off exactly the Wrath of Khan.
The whole ending was pretty darn close. It's like, I would have rather seen something new, which is what they did with Star Trek 3, which I thought, or not 3, but Into Darkness, I thought was...
Well, Into Darkness was the second one. Star Trek Beyond. Star Trek Beyond.
I thought that was a really good movie.
That was still keeping in line with what they've been doing recently with the action and the look they had established the previous two movies, but yet they tried to draw it closer back to what people were hoping out of the first two movies that they never really got. And in that sense, I think they, instead of just all of a sudden jumping from one style to another style completely for the third movie, they kind of pulled you back a little bit. And if they continue on that trend, then maybe on the fourth movie, you'll get back to more of what maybe people have been always hoping for, but just with the newer cast, newer look, and all that good stuff. And Paramount's not going to give up on Star Trek, no matter how good or bad some of those movies do. I mean, yeah, they may sit on the shelf for 3, 4, or 5 years, but they're never going to go away completely because, let's face it, that's one of Paramount's high-end movie franchises, and they're not just going to let it sit and grow dust for very long before they jump on something. That's like Disney saying, oh, yeah, well, we bought Lucasfilm in 2012, but it's going to be at least 2030 before you see another Star Wars movie. That'd just be stupid. Anything else on your list, on your mind? Movie?
I don't think so. I'd give Lego Batman a pretty high score. Either an A- or a B+.
I'd give it an A-.
I would have given it a full-on A if the last half kept that momentum going with the Batman villains and not moved on to other stuff. If they would have come around full circle with Superman. Those are kind of nitpicks, though, because really, they really did a lot of really funny stuff. Oh, I love the clown snake thing. It was pretty funny. Yeah, so, I mean, this one's probably an A-. It's a really good movie.
Awesome. As always, you can find James's link for the True Believers on ReggiesTake.com. You can find my podcast now on Podomatic, and you can find links to everything relating to me, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff, also on my ReggiesTake.com. And it was great chatting with you, and we will be back with podcast number 32. Thanks for listening.